Father Yah, we bless your name on today. We thank you just for another opportunity to present ourselves to you, to get an understanding of your word. We ask you just to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. We thank you for our Savior, Yahushua. We praise you for establishing us as a ministry that you have your hands on to bring about a change from a perspective of seeing the scripture precept upon precept, line upon line. Thank you again. In the wonderful name of our Savior, we do pray. Amen. Now, Isaiah 38, verse 1. This is interesting. I'll just start it. Isaiah 38, verse 1 said, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." Now, we look at it. This is after the Assyrian king attempted. Matter of fact, let's go back there just to review just a little bit, so that we will be on the same, all on the same page, because it doesn't. We're not concerned about covering material. We're concerned about understanding the material that we cover. You know. So we're not in a hurry to get through anything. That's why we kind of go back and review and things like that. Okay. Now, let me see which verse. Which verse? Okay, I want to go back up to verse 10. And we obviously not going to stay there. We're just going to set up a foundation whereby we can deal with chapter 38. Okay. No, Isaiah 37. I'm just trying to see where I want to start, I think. We're going to start in Isaiah 37 at this point. Let me see. It's a specific verse that I want to deal with. No, that's why I can't find it. Go to 36. We'll go to 36. We're going to skip 37 because there's a specific verse where I want to start. Yah is leading me to that verse. We'll start at verse 5. Isaiah 36, verse 5, then we'll move into 37 briefly and then into 38. 38 is a short chapter. That's why I'm doing this. Now, Isaiah 36, verse 6. Verse 4 says, "And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, saith thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom doest thou trust that thou rebellest against me?" Verse 6 says, "Lo, thou trustest in the staff that is this broken reed." And you remember we dealt with some things in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, although we didn't read Isaiah 30, I just kind of referenced back to some things to show that Israel had depended upon Egypt in order to deliver them from the king of Assyria. And so the king of Assyria is boasting about it in verse 6. He's basically saying, he's saying to the tribe of Judah, or Hezekiah, the king of Judah, Hezekiah, the king of Judah, he's basically saying in a nutshell in verse 6 that you're dependent on a staff that is a broken reed, and that the staff that you're leaning on for help is going to cause you to be stabbed through your hand, because it can't help you, it's going to hurt you. That's what he's basically saying in verse 6. Then it says, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. And to confirm that passage is Isaiah 30, verse 5. It says, they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame, and also reproach. So that's what this king is saying. Then verse 7, he says, but if thou say to me, we trust in Jehovah our Yah, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? And this is what Yah wanted me to come back to give a little bit more clarity as far as the Assyrian thought process. Not only was this Assyrian king intent on invading Judah, because remember, he had conquered the 10 tribes. He had taken Samaria. We looked at some things concerning his boast about Samaria. I think we'll see it again. So he had taken Samaria, the capital city of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And so his mindset, when you look at verse 7, and it's what y'all wanted, he wanted me to bring out, I believe, in Sabbath worship, but I didn't do it in detail, and so he's had me to go back now to bring it back, to bring the clarity or the understanding. So when you look at this king, his mindset is that, okay, I conquered your brethren. I mentioned that on the Sabbath. But his mindset is, he understands certain things to a certain perspective. He's saying, I conquered your brethren, and at the same time, I'm going to conquer you. And the reason why I'm going to conquer you is because I know that you have rebelled against your God. But he think that, but the thing about it, he don't really understand Yah. He just know that they worship a God, but in his mindset, he's thinking that the altars that they took down was Yah's altar. And so he's saying, okay, you took down Yah's altar, or your God's altar, and now since you took down your God's altar, he's given me the liberty or the freedom, the ability to now come and invade you because you rebelling against your God. See, you took down all of his altars. That's what he's saying in verse 7. He says, again, but if thou say to me, we trust in Jehovah our Yah, because he know about the God of Israel. So he's calling him by name. He says, so if you said we trust in Jehovah our Yah, he said, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah had taken down? But remember, Hezekiah took down the altars because he was following Yah. He was trying to get, or he was causing the tribes of Judah to turn back to the ways of Yah, to a certain perspective. So he was the one that tore down all the altars and the different things like that. Well, this king know about it. And so he's saying, the reason why I'm going to accomplish my goal is because you tore down your God altars. That's what he's saying to him in a nutshell. But if thou say to me, we trust in Jehovah our Yah, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken down, and said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar? So his mindset is, he don't know that the altar that they're worshiping before now is the actual altar of Yah. He think all the stuff they tore down is their God. Because his only relationship to of God is based upon all these altars and idols. So he says, since they tore them down, he said, Hezekiah, you rebelled against your God. And since you rebelled against your God, I know I'm going to defeat you. That's his mindset. So he thinks he's by divine permission from the Yah of Israel, although he don't know Hezekiah tore the altars down and got them worshiping before the true altar. So that's his mindset, and I wanted to show you that. Do you have something?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Go ahead. Make sure you stay right here.
I think that's the danger of rushing into a situation based on the circumstances without understanding the complete picture.
Right.
Right. So based on that limited amount of information, the decision that he made seemed logical to him.
Right.
But he didn't know the whole big picture, right?
Right.
So I feel like that's the danger. Even on that same note, that's the danger of us when we make any decision apart from letting y'all leave slide in on our mind, because it's just like that. We have that limited bit of information that we're making a decision on, not even knowing the whole big picture.
Right. And so he's sitting here. Now, and here's what you have to understand, or here's what we have to understand. Yah permitted him to take the 10 tribes in captivity. Remember, Isaiah prophesied that the Assyrian army was going to invade the northern tribes. And so on one hand, Yah gave him permission to do it. But on the other hand, his arrogance, remember how we dealt with his arrogance? On the other hand, his arrogance or his pride got him to the point to where, like what Alan is saying, got him to the point to where he felt like, because I did this, then ain't nothing stopping me. They tore down their idols and all that. They tore down all the altars. Hezekiah is doing his own thing. Hezekiah has basically done made him another god. So I know I've conquered the... I conquered his brethren, those 10 tribes. I'm finna go right on in, and it's gonna be like what the scripture said, like picking fruit that's ripe. That was his mindset. Okay, so with that understanding, we go to 37. We're not gonna spend a lot of time there, because 38 is what we're gonna deal with. We go to 37. Hezekiah now is going before Yah. He's crying out before Yah, and Isaiah speaks a word to him in verse 21. Isaiah 37. We just reviewing a little bit before we get to 38, so we'll be on the same page. Verse 21. It says, "Then Isaiah 37, verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith Jehovah Yah of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which Jehovah has spoken concerning him. The virgins, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine hand on high, even against the Holy One of Israel?" Okay. Now, as we deal with this, Isaiah is speaking to Hezekiah, basically in a nutshell, saying that Yah is going to fight for Judah, okay, in Jerusalem. Yah defends the city. Now, quick question: how does he defend the city? How does Yah defend the city? What does he do? Y'all remember the story? What does Yah do to the Assyrian army?
The angels fight him and kill him all, right?
Right. The angel goes in and kills 185,000. So that's how Yah dealt with that. Now, what did he say was going to happen to the king of Assyria?
In his own land.
And as we read down in verse 38, I just want to skip to verse 38 to get to chapter 38. In verse 37. So Sennacherib, after the angel, verse 36, let's go to verse 36, Then the angel of Jehovah went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, there was all dead corpse. Verse 37 says, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezar, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, now we get over to chapter 38. It says, in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus said Jehovah, sit thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto Jehovah and said, remember now, O Jehovah, I beseech thee, how I walk before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of Jehovah to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith Jehovah, the Yah of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. He's going to die. He's going to die from sickness. Okay? And we're going to see I'll just continue to read. So Yah adds 15 years to his life in verse 5. Verse 6 says, I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Yeah, go ahead.
So this is going on in the process of this Assyrian siege?
All impressions, yeah.
And so, because it's like he gives, said what happened in 37, but then in 38, it's like he revealed some details of some things.
Is this king of Assyria the same one from 37, or is this the son, or
when you look at the When you look at the scriptures here, let me go back to 37 and make sure before I come in and say whether that's the truth or not. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. Here's why. Because when you look at the angel that goes forth in Isaiah 37:36, where we just came from, that angel does that in 2 Kings 19. Now, when you get over into Isaiah 38, from him taking sick, it's 2 Kings 18. So, yeah, it is before, okay? It's 2 Kings 18 that actually tells the story. So 2 Kings 19 is when the angel kills the army. So 2 Kings 18 is when Hezekiah is sick. So Hezekiah is sick, like the scripture is revealing, before that Assyrian army comes in. And Yah is telling him, I'm gonna destroy the Assyrians. And I'm going to heal you from the sickness. So let's go back up to verse 1, since we have our ducks in a row, okay? Verse 1 says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus said Jehovah. I'm going to stop a minute because we keep this information that we just discussed, that this event is happening before the Assyrian army, before the angel kills all the 185,000. And I want you to understand that Hezekiah is sick to the point to where he's dying before this Assyrian army is going to invade. Because as we get down to some chapters, we're going to understand why Hezekiah is sick. Okay? Now, again, verse 1 says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the son of Amos came unto him and said unto him, thus saith Jehovah, sit thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. thou shalt die and not live. And then there are some things also going on in 2 Kings 20 concerning Hezekiah too. And so it's referencing some things in both perspectives. And so we'll just continue to read it here. Then it says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, because the verse 1 is found in 2 Kings 20. Okay, that's why I'm saying that. So then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto Jehovah and said, remember now, I O Jehovah, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of Jehovah to Hezekiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus say, okay, I'm just trying to make sure some things. Verse 4 says, then came the word of Jehovah to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus said Jehovah, the Yah of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee, unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the king of Assyria. Out of the king of Assyria. And I will defend, this city, and so it's like what we said, Alan. It is before the angel kills the army of the Assyrian king. So in verse 6 confirms it. Okay. So he says, and that's why he's saying, and I will deliver thee, I will deliver you because you're sick, and I will deliver the city out of the hand of the Assyrian, and I will defend it, Isaiah 37, verse 35 says this, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. So this is within the same time frame of 37 and 38. It's just that Isaiah is dealing with it in a way to where you can't just go by chapter and think it's just ending one story and beginning with another. Isaiah takes two chapters, or he's taking multiple chapters and explaining things, he's prophesying things, and then things are coming to pass at the same time. So Isaiah is revealing things in prophecies, then he's telling it when it actually happens. And so you have to reference back to other passages to really see what's going on. And so yeah, the Assyrians hadn't invaded still yet at this time. Then he says, and this shall be a sign unto thee from Jehovah, that I will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again, look at this now. Behold, I will bring again a shadow of the degree which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degree it was gone down. In other words, he's basically saying, okay, this is a sign, Hezekiah, that y'all going to deliver Jerusalem and Judah out of the king of Assyria's hand. He said, the sun is going to go backwards. In other words, it's going to go from, I don't really know what 10 degrees mean from a perspective.
So they had like a sundial, and based on that, you know, like a clock, it's
150 degrees. Right.
And so when the sundial, depending on where it was, it'll tell you what time it was.
Right.
So each degree, so when the sun is going down, it's going, the degree is changing, like what it would be on a clock. And so for it to go backwards, would be like on our clock, like the minute hand, let's say, going back from, I don't know, like six 6 o'clock to 5:30.
Right.
And that difference would be the degrees of it going back.
Right. So, and that's why I was saying I didn't know how much the 10 degrees were, because I don't know how the sundial reads from the perspective of our clock. That's what I was trying to, in other words, I was trying to say what is 10 degrees on a sundial, how many hours would that mean to us, to try to give everybody a general idea of how far the time went backwards. But I don't know, that's why I was saying I don't know what 10 degrees on a sundial is. But anyhow, we do an hour? Okay, so at least, I think it is an hour. I think that, so when you look at the 10 degrees, time went back an hour. So Yah was like, in order to prove that I'm going to do this, instead of it's 5 o'clock now, I'm going to move the time back to 4 o'clock by the sun. Looking at the sundial, like Adam said, the sundial, the shadow of it being in certain positions during certain times of the day, well, that position, or that dark part of the sundial that it had covered that time frame, went back 10 degrees. The show, which I think it is an hour, so it went back an hour. It's just to show you how awesome Yah is, that he was willing to take time and move it backwards. He did it before. I believe it was Joshua, the sun didn't go down or something like that till they conquered the armies. And so there are times when Yah had caused the sun to obey his command. So y'all remember when I was talking one time and I was saying everything is living and basically responds to Yah, saying that there are things that once we line up with Yah to the highest degree, there are certain things that will obey us. That's why the prophet Elijah would say, it's not going to rain. Heaven will shut up. It's not rain. Now, in order for that to happen, all creation, the sun, the moon, everything would have to line up in order for that to be fulfilled. And so you're seeing the same thing as far as Yah is concerned, whereby he gives a command and even the sun obeys. Now, we saw the sun move back, but the moon had to follow suit. Stars and everything had to follow suit to adjust to that command. Okay, and so that's, I just thought it was awesome just to see how that works, or how Yah spoke that and to see it come to pass.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
In that same vein. So I think it's interesting because Yah said he would do this thing, so it wasn't something that Israel did. They fought and they did it. So to me, it's kind of like the same way when Yah said he would bring us back into the land. Yeah, you have the people that's pretending to be us doing it on the back of men,
right,
and equating it as the same thing.
Right. What was it, the 1947-48
yeah.
war? Whereas, you know, they show that and say, well, this is how Yah blessed us as a nation of people to get back in our land. Well, you can see every time Yah delivered Israel, he did it with his mighty hand. What the Assyrian king said, you depended on Egypt and they can't help you. These folks depended on the Allied forces and they helped them. They let you know it's not by divine will of Yah. Because when Yah does it, he makes sure that he do it in a way to where everything is brought into focus as far as he's concerned. He's the source by which these things take place, you know. And that's what you've been having all these years since 1947-48. You've been having Israel, who've been bootlegging the prophecies of Yah by the strength of Allied forces. Yah don't need no Allied forces. Matter of fact, Yah does the opposite. He take all the Allied forces and put them in a position where Israel can't depend on them, so he can deliver them. Everything's like Alan said. Everything is just opposite. It's like bootleg. They bootleg everything. You know, and it amazes me that preachers will preach that 1948 stuff and all these different things. They'll preach this stuff and it don't line nowhere up in the scripture. Just nowhere it lines up. You have anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Now, verse 9 said, the writings of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, colon. Now, Hezekiah is writing. That's why I'm saying the writings of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is explaining some things. So when you get to verse 10, this is Hezekiah's writing. So Hezekiah explaining, now this is before the Assyrian army try to come in. So Hezekiah is explaining why he's sick. Verse 10, he said, I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. So it gives us the impression that he's dying before he feels like it's his time. Okay? And then he says, I said, I shall not see Jehovah, even Jehovah in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. He says, mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness from day even to night. Will thou make an end? He's basically saying, you know, it's like I'm cut off like a whale, like a spider's whale. Like, you know how you walk through a spider's web. So that's how he's comparing his life. Now he said, I'm cut off like a weaver my life. Then he said he will cut me off with pine and sickness from day even to night. Will thou make an end of me? I reckon till morning, verse 10, I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night will thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fell with looking upward. O Jehovah, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. He's crying out to Yah. Remember what the scripture said? He turned his face to the wall and he cried. Okay, and so he's writing about the thing that he was experiencing and dealing with as he was crying. And then it says, verse 15, what shall I say? He has both spoken unto me, and himself has done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Jehovah, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So will thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, verse 17, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. Y'all see this now. Hast cast all my sins from all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee. Now, when you look at us as a nation, the thing that set us apart from other nations is we didn't have sickness. We didn't have sickness as a nation. The nation of Israel wasn't a nation of people that got sick. So when you see Hezekiah being sick, he's explaining that there was something going on with him. That was sin associated, and that was the cause of his sickness. Now, when you go and look and see all the things that he did, although he threw down all the other gods and the altars of the other gods and things like that, there were still things that he allowed the nation of Israel to bring about his own sickness from a perspective of what was going on with him in verse 1, that he was sick unto death. And so that's why he's saying That's why he's saying in verse 17, behold, for peace I have great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, colon, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. He was dying. He was dying because there was something that he was doing that Yah associated it with sin. And the sickness attached to Hezekiah, it revealed that there was something going on with him from a perspective of his sin. Okay? And this is just Hezekiah revealing some things in his writings. Okay? Verse 19 says, The living, he shall praise thee, and I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Verse 20, Jehovah was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my song to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of Jehovah. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of fig and lay it for a plaster upon the boil. So the boil revealed what was going on. There was something going on with him that had to do with some form of a boil or ulcer or something like that. And that, and whatever it was causing his it was causing his death. And so Yah obviously said that he was going to heal him, but then at the same time, the method by which he used was a lump of feed, and they laid it for a plaster. So whatever it is, some about figs that will draw whatever's going on with a boil or ulcer out of an individual's body. Verse 22 says, Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of Jehovah? Now, when Hezekiah said it, we know what the sign is. Yah moved the sundial back. Okay?
That's the standard operating procedure. So, I mean, when you look at hearing Hezekiah is asking for a sign, you know, I think it was Jonathan.
I'm glad you said it. Go ahead.
And his servant asked for a sign. I think it was, who the priest asked for a sign. So is that...
Abraham asked for one.
Is that the way we're supposed to operate?
See, here's where this thing separates from the doctrine of Christianity. Christianity will always tell you have to operate by faith. You just trust Yah without any info. But as we're seeing here, these men of God clearly ask Yah for a sign. I do it all the time. Look here, Yah, I ain't trying to get caught up into something. You need to speak to me because I'm dumb, stupid, and ignorant, as Mama said. I'm dumb, stupid, and ignorant, and you need to talk to me because if you don't, and I think this is you, I'm going to go do something crazy, so I need you to show me something. I say it to him all the time. Yah, if you ain't going to show me nothing, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't got time to be trying to figure out, is this Yah? I need to know it's Yah. Make the sun go back for an hour, Yah. Okay, we convinced, you know. Deal with me in a way. I don't need to be just going laying hands on something, just trusting Yah, just believe by faith. I don't have to see nothing. No, I need to see something. That's why I always make a statement from a perspective of dealing with faith by saying that faith always has to have corresponding action with it. That works both ways. Yah, I trust you, but at the same time, I'm trusting you. Manifest something. Let me know I'm going down the right path. What kind of encouragement is it to be trusting Yah and he don't give us nothing to let us know we at least going in the right direction? We just trusting Yah. Give me something. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. Like I said, Abraham did it. You know, here we got Hezekiah did it. all of these men, all these men of Yah, they were faithful men. They were men of faith. Jesus, you know, even Peter would say, okay, if it's you, bid me to come. Give me something. And I kid you not, I will go to Yah, and I think that's the biggest mistake that Christianity has done to people who are making attempts to trust Yah, is to try to get everybody to put their faith in Yah, and you ain't got to see nothing. Well, I don't have to see nothing to trust Yah, but doggone it, if I'm going to trust him, I want to see something. I don't have to see something to trust him. I put my trust out there first. But when I put my trust out there, I need to see a building. Y'all, if I'm trusting you for a building, I need to see one. I need to see something going in the right direction. If I'm trusting you for some things, I don't need nothing now to trust you. But when I trust you, something needs to take place. I need to see some progression somewhere in order to know that Yah, you working on my behalf. If I'm sitting around here just saying I'm trusting Yah, ain't nothing changing, there's nothing there that can give me the strength to say, you know what, this is working. How long would we have put up with Connor if we just had an old vacant building that needed renovation? Child, that's why I've been looking at here yet, like, child, this ain't Yah. This ain't Yah. So I would go to Yah and say, okay, if this is your will, I trusted you for that building, you put it in my hand, okay, if this is your will for us to carry out this vision in that building, then we need something to take place to see some progression going on as far as that building is concerned. After I said that, we won the grant. I need a sign. Ain't nothing wrong with a sign. But Christianity has taught us that we should have faith alone apart from work. I think faith work, the works of faith work both ways. I'm going to say it again. I believe, I trust Yah, but I believe that the faith of works work both ways. I believe there's something that I should do. I should have corresponding action to go with my faith. And Yah should have corresponding action to go with the faith that I have in him. It's a mutual relationship. How could you live for Yah? How could you live for Yah and there's nothing that is being done to cause your faith to end in the area? Did y'all hear what I just said? Did you know that your faith should end somewhere? It should always be faith in Yah, but your faith should end in some areas because that should be completed. I have faith for a building. That faith is completed. Why? Because the building manifested. I had faith that resources was going to come in to start cleaning it up. I don't have faith for that no more. That's been accomplished. Now we're in the next phase of faith. We're putting our faith, trusting Yah, to finish the construction of that. I didn't see something. I need still sign, y'all. You know, I need still sign. If I don't go in, if I don't go nowhere but walk in the building and see a dollar land in the middle of the floor, give me a sign. Let me know you're going to send some money this way. That's the thing that Christianity has caused us as a nation, the people, to get away from. And we have looked at faith from a twisted point of view without knowing. Here it is. Here what I'm about to say. Boy, I'm excited about what I'm about to say. Has allowed us to forget knowing the fact that Yah wants to perform for us. He want to give you a sign. He want to give you a sign. any good parent want to give a child some kind of sign that some good things finna happen? Any good parent? We serve a God who want to give us some signs, who want to give us some things to keep us encouraged. Other than that, if all we doing is sitting around using our building again, if all we doing is sitting around building all tore up, neat fixing, and we sitting around with just a big old building talking about how y'all has blessed us with that building, and there's no sign going from that point on to encourage us that y'all's going to finish what he started, man, we give up on that. I need a sign. I'm like Hezekiah. I need a sign. Move the sun back. Do whatever you got to do. I need a sign. Let money fall out of the sky. I don't know. Whatever kind of sign I need to keep me encouraged, I need a sign. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing at all wrong with asking y'all to show me. I do it all the time. Y'all, if this is what you want me to do, show me a sign. I do it in a minute. If you don't show me no sign, I'm going to go sit down somewhere. Guess what he always do? He show me a sign. Every time, he show me a sign. All right? You have anything else, Adam? Okay. And so that's vitally important for us to understand. So if you're trusting y'all, that's a good place to stop. If you're trusting y'all for something, and you've been trusting him for it, For a long time, for a pretty good while, you've been trusting him for it. Go to him with a sincere heart and say, look, yeah, I trust you. I put all my trust in you. But I need you to show me something to let me know that I'm going in the right direction, to let me know that I'm on the right path. I need to know that I'm on the right path. Deal with me. I go to y'all time, be like, deal with me. You know I'm a nut. You know I ain't got no sense. You deal with a fool. My son-in-law would tell you, I was talking to a guy. Matter of fact, the reason why we was kind of running late, because I was preaching before I preached now. I was preaching, was about an hour or so, did it? Just, and I kept telling this guy, I said, okay, listen to this fool. I know I'm a fool. I'm like, listen to this fool. Listen to this fool tell you some stuff. And so what I'm saying in a nutshell is y'all know what he's put in me. He know what he's made me and you. He know what he's put there. And sometimes he knows, he knows that sometimes we need some encouragement. So go to your father and say, okay, I'm trusting you for this. I want to trust you. You know my heart. I tell y'all this all the time. Y'all, you know my heart. Look at me. What can I hide from you? You know me better than I know myself. Deal with me. Show me something. I do it all the time. Show me something to let me know that I'm on the right path, because the most disappointing thing, I say this to y'all, the most disappointing thing in my life is to find out that I'm going the wrong direction. Show me. Give me a sign. He do it every time. Now, the thing about it is, we got to learn how to be led enough to know a sign when we see it. We got to be led enough to know a sign when we see it. And don't try to figure that out. Because if the heart is right, he's going to give you a sign regardless of how small it is, and you're going to be able to say, okay, that's for y'all. He gave me the liberty to do it. Whatever it is, each one of you, that's your assignment. Each one of you, I want you to go to y'all tonight, whenever time, I want you to go to y'all and say, okay, y'all, I'm believing you for this, whatever it may be. All of us have different needs, okay? I want you to go to Yah and say, this is what I need. Give me a sign. Give me a sign that you're going to do this. You know my heart. You know what I need. Now give me a sign. And trust it. And watch He do it. I'm telling you He's going to do it. But you gotta be sincere. It can't be no foolishness. You can't be saying, Lord, give me a sign. I need a gazillion dollars. Just give me a sign. No. I ain't talking about no foolish stuff. I'm talking about stuff that's really sincerely in your heart, where you feel like it's necessary to see that change in your life for the better, and you depending upon Yah to bring that to pass. He's the only one that can bring it to pass. Go to Yah tonight and say, give me a sign with a sincere heart, and I'm telling you, he's going to do it. I don't care whatever it is. I don't care what it is. He's going to do it. But you can't do it in no foolishness. You got to be sincere in what you're doing. That is the criteria. So if it's foolishness, he's going to let you know about that too. All right? Go to him in sincerity and watch he give you a sign. All right? I'm done. Any questions, comments? Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name on today. We thank you for just another lesson that has brought us into another facet of understanding. We know that as the nation of Israel, we have always sought you for understanding, and it wasn't from a spiritual perspective only, but we ask you for physical manifestations just to give us a course to know that we were on the right path. And we do this in sincerity because our primary goal is to please you. And the only way that we can please you is to know without a doubt that we're following your lead. And this is our desire, and we bless you for just giving us the liberty, the freedom to come to you and to ask for your help and to ask for you to show us the way. And we glorify you in the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Right in the middle of that prayer, he was saying he was pleased with that. He was pleased with the fact that that's been given as an assignment. And here's why: because we serve a loving Yah who wants to bring some things to pass in our lives. We serve a loving Yah who want to do it. So go ask. And watch the results. Look for it. Expect it. Once you ask, don't try to figure it out. Once you ask, just look for it and expect it. Watch it take place. All right? I'm done.